Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believers City Church, Menominee, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Tim. I am the lead preaching pastor here at Believers City Church. Each week we gather here to rewind our previous Sunday message, this time in application, this time in small group discussions. So around Dunn County and beyond this evening, there are several small group gatherings that will be meeting immediately after this broadcast to discuss the application of the message and the text to their lives and to their world. If you're local, you'd probably be tuned to 101.7 FM Street Level Radio. And if you're further away, you're probably tuned to our internet stream, maybe even our regional TV broadcast. But no matter how you got here, we are glad you are here. Our last Sunday service was entitled Born of God with a text of 1 John chapters 5, verses 1 through 13. Let's get into it.
Telling us in verse 13 that these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Again, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So he wrote all of this letter so that the reader would know that he or she has eternal life. Now, the reason for such was to serve more than just to give the readers some comfort, more than to just give them some security, although it did provide both of those things. Moreover, it was written so that they may continue, John said, to believe in the name of the Son of God. John herein stated that if we say we know God, but we fail to keep his commandments when it comes to our Christian confession, we are a liar. Verse 4, chapter 2. He said, if we say that we love God, but we don't love our brothers, then again, we're a liar. Chapter 4, verse 20. If we say that God is in us, but we still love the world, if we continue in sin, chapter 3, verse 6 says that we have not seen him, nor do we know him. It goes clearly by this account, I am not a Christian at all. Despite years of church attendance, because the truth is I live for this world, I'm still in bondage to sin. I thought I loved Jesus. I thought I was part of his church body. But according to John and according to this letter, I am not. John clearly had some concern about the reader of this letter, just as I had some heavy concern this morning myself. I wonder how many of us have crossed over that bridge wherein we can no longer entertain the possibility that we are no longer hearing the voice of God pleading as he did in Haggai 1:5, where he said, consider your ways. People can come to church and put on and do that Jesus stuff for a long time. And trust me, I've been here, I've stood here, I've watched it. Eventually, though, and most assuredly, and again, one of those few bennies of being standing in a pulpit for 35 years, is I can look over my shoulder and I can tell you assuredly, eventually, the bottom will fall out of that kind of construction. But I think many of us are never going to seem to get beyond these warnings, never on this side of eternity. But I wonder this morning if we realize that this is nothing short of spiritual suicide to write this off as, well, John's too extreme, or John's too fringe, or John's speaking in hyperboles. Because just so you know, especially if you're a guest here today, you have to put us in that fold. So, but we go to church and we really don't want to be confronted. We feel bad when we're confronted. But the honest truth is, and we would never say it in public, in the company of anyone, but the bottom line in our heart of hearts is we really, really don't want to be a Christian like the Bible prescribes. But if we walk, meaning our very living, our very motion of life, if we do so in the light, which means in Him, because the Bible says He is light. If so, we're basically horizontally in fellowship with one another. So, if I walk in the light, I'm good with my fellow man. I'm good with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, so we're good vertically. We're good horizontally, we're good vertically. If we claim to be on board with Jesus, but our living and our motions of life are done in the absence of the light, we're lying to Jesus, we're lying to ourselves, we're lying to everyone around us. We are a liar. Because we can lose our bearings in the darkness, can't we? As well as doing some serious damage to both ourselves and to everybody in our lives around us. When we walk in the light, better able to get back up without destroying everything and everyone around us.
The Apostle John was going in our text this week where most folks fear to tread. John was clarifying something that has had a long history of being muddied to such a degree that today the title Christian has all but lost its cultural meaning, its cultural impact, and is now languishing in cultural ambiguity. Furthermore, we countered this trend, and any attempt we do counter it is generally handled, I don't know, with fear and kid gloves, really, in all an attempt to, you know, not be offensive in the culture in which we live, and certainly always to remain socially acceptable in our dealing with others. But then, woe, along comes the Apostle John. And in his handling of this, John goes so far as to say that some of these folks were, well, liars, flat out liars. I mean, John stated that if we say we know God, but we fail to keep His commandments, we're a liar. Chapter 2, verse 4. If we say we love God and we don't love our brothers, then again, we're a liar. Chapter 4, verse 20. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we are, yes, you guessed it, a liar. Chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. If we love this world, God's not in us. Chapter 2, verse 15. If we continue in sin, we have not seen Him nor known Him. Chapter 3, verse 6. So John clearly is not at all seeking to be politically correct. For those of us that are genuinely concerned about the authenticity of our own witness and our own testimony, which, by the way, is a righteous concern for sure, we're looking for some clarity. We're looking for some emphatic position on all this because, listen, eternity is on the table, and that should concern all of us. We are all usually quite aware of the fact that we fall short of perfection. So it's normal then for us to want to know where the lines are and where we stand according to such, where we stand in light of the Master today. Clearly, we have fallen on an occasion in our lives, and we will no doubt do so again. And thankfully, God has us covered for our shortcomings. It's His grace. It's His mercy. But that's not meant to be a long leash, and I'm not trying to offer one today, but rather a blessed fact that all true believers should be eternally thankful for this fact. But our forensic journey in this matter begins with our personal imperfections and God's grace. The question here isn't a matter of not ever falling down, but if and how, when we get back up. The critical factor in this scenario is that John already has pointed out that God is light. And that should make us sit up and take notice, for God is trying to communicate a great truth to us here and now. You see, whether we get back up is proving our muster or our fail to do so. If we get back up. And now we know that when it comes to this world that we live in, our world is repeatedly referred to as darkness. So let's see if we get this straight. The world is darkness. God is light. We're somewhere in this vast chasm in between, trying to find our feet. So these facts represent our battleground. This represents the field of play. If Christ is truly in me and Christ is truly with me, then when I fall down in the dark, I am thus able to get back up because of the light illumination that from within me of the path before me. But as we discussed on Sunday, getting up off the floor in the dark is often fraught with danger in and unto itself. That's why so many of us, when it happens, we take a second or even a third face plant while we're trying to regain composure in the darkness after the first one. One of the traps in this matter is that we tend to trust in the testimonies of men more than we trust in the testimonies of God. We read scripture, we hear the guidelines, we're aware of the framework of an authentic born-again life, and we often realize that in many respects, the picture presented from scripture, that's not us. However, we have surrounded ourselves with people who will support us, even to our own hurt, to our own demise, people that, unlike John, are politically correct, and they're quick to tell us that we're really swell and we're great people all around. People that are, you know, our buddies and our relatives and our girlfriends or our boyfriends, people who want us to feel good. And so they tell us that we are spiritually swell. So generally, we tend to go with those folks rather than John. I mean, we like the sound of their recommendation far better than we like John's condemnation. And of course, this mistake can easily be eternally fatal. For a judgment, God will be calling us forward, and he will not be calling any witnesses to step up on our behalf. No, God doesn't need any witnesses because the judge already knows it all and he's seen it all. His opinion will be all that matters on that day. Verse 10 tells us that he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Well, what does that look like? It means the witness that matters is not the people that are around you who may or may not be straight with you on all of this, but rather the God who possesses you if you are an authentic reborn believer today. And I would think that everyone would readily agree that Jehovah God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the all-powerful deity over nature and mankind, et cetera, that there is no power beyond anything that this world can offer short of our God. No one is gang subtly possessed by God. That interaction is more than a tidal wave. It's more than a hurricane. So that witness that will be speaking from inside that individual will speak verbally, yes, but even more so, will do so in action and in lifestyle and in priority and in peace and in choices, in interaction and in service. Verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Well, there it is. I mean, that's as clear as it could be. You see, our proof is, our smoking gun of testimony today is that singular life that emanates forth from us. Jesus is our power. Jesus is our priority. Jesus is our center. Jesus is where it starts for us, and Jesus is where it ends for us. Jesus is so present that it leaks out of us and onto everyone that we have contact with. because he is, in this situation, our everything. John 12:46 tells us that Jesus said, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in the darkness." So the bottom line today is this: do you know where you're going? I mean, can you see ahead? Can you see where you're going? Can you see the road ahead? Are you just riding the wave? If you're just going along as the wind blows and you really don't know where you're going or what you're doing? Because if Jesus is in you, then so is the light.